Hello, everyone. It's The Big Show, the show on the British Tech Network, where we talk about the week's tech news. And God, there's been a lot of it this week. So much, in fact, we probably won't get to it all, but you never know. My name's Cole Madden, and I'm lucky to have a wonderful little panel of guests with us today. Starting off from the My Mac podcast, we have the wonderful Gazmaz. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Carl. Absolutely sponrific. And, looking forward to having Guy back next week.
I heard your show this week, actually. Your show has made me, when they bring out the new copy of Aperture, I'm going to buy that.
Oh, well. When do you think they're going to bring it out?
I don't know. Yeah. Next year, maybe. Next year. Possibly.
Anyway.
Also joining us, we have our own BTN reviewer on board today, Mr. Paul Wright. How are you doing?
Hello, sir. How are you? Can you see me this week?
We can see you, yes, because you now have super fast connectivity, don't you?
Yes, I'm probably the fastest man in Norwich.
Well, that wouldn't be difficult. Well, anyway.
Norwich.
Any good reviews you put up this week? Any reviews we should be looking out for, I mean?
This weekend, keep an eye, I would.
Okay. And rounding out our panel, we have the wonderful editor of the Mac Observer, Jeff Gamet.
I'm amazed that I figured out how to get in today.
Yes, because today we're trying something new. Because Ewan's away, I don't have access to all his Skype equipment stuff. So we are trying this as a Google Plus Hangout. So if it all crashes and burns, I can blame Google.
Works for me.
So let's get off with the most important news story of the week. And that is the fact that Yahoo have changed their logo.
Oh, good work.
Look at that. How much do you reckon they paid for that, then?
Can I ask, Carl, has it changed from the top to the bottom one?
No, I think they're showing you the two different colours. Oh, dear. But what was wrong with the old Yahoo one? I mean, did it really need modernising? Okay, because this went through a whole process of 30 days there where they showed a different alternative one every single day, and it was meant to be leading up to the big reveal, which is this.
Well, they just tried different typefaces, didn't they? They went down the list in Microsoft Word and put them all out there. And did you get to vote?
I think that they thought that their old logo was too Flintstone-ish.
And they wanted to jetson it up.
Very clever.
Hasn't it been the same logo forever, though, hasn't it, since, like, the birth of the internet?
No, they changed it.
Have they really?
Yeah. Remember when they had the tiny little guy in the logo?
Ooh. Oh, they did, didn't they? They have. So, yeah.
I can't remember that far back.
Yes, they did.
I've got to say, that new logo doesn't do anything for me. It's too corporate. It's too boring. It's just not. It's more like Yahoo now.
Yahoo.
Oh. It's still got the exclamation mark. You still have to be excited and up and go, Yahoo!
Right.
Like you're falling ground to the water ground on a thermonuclear device at the end of that film.
Yeah.
Well, I can see
we're all... Spoilers.
I didn't say what film.
No, you said that film.
Okay, yeah. That's true. You did.
See? See, I know how to do that stuff, sort of.
What does the change of logo do, really? It's not going to bring anything new, is it? You know, are we more excited about Yahoo because of the change of the logo?
Do you know, it's probably more of excitement for the employees that work for the company more than excitement for anyone else. It, you know, it gets them excited about working for a company with a new logo. Yahoo!
You know, changing up a company logo every few years actually is a really smart idea. And your logo needs to be fresh. And if you have the exact same logo forever and ever, then, that's just a bad business move. And so, yeah, it makes sense that they're changing it. The way they did it, 30 days building up to this. I mean, at least they didn't use Papyrus or Comic Sans for their font.
I preferred that.
And to be honest, it's worked, because it's the lead story in today's episode.
Well, yeah, but not for the reasons they want it to be the lead story.
True, but we're talking about it.
True, true. Something else we're going to now talk about is the Galaxy Gear.
Oh, God.
Now, we can't do cheap shots with this. We can't compare it with a device that's not out yet. So we can only concentrate on the actual device that was launched.
Yeah, but they've only released it because of a device that hasn't been launched. It's the only reason they've done it.
Yeah, there you go.
That's exactly why they've done it.
Okay, no, because other people are trying to get into this market. You got Sony with their smartwatch too. I mean, I didn't even notice the smartwatch 1 had come out, so I was quite surprised when the smartwatch 2 came out. And you've got the Pebble as well. That's to find a limited audience.
Right, yeah. but Samsung doesn't care about those products. What they care about is what they think Apple is going to do. And so they want to be on the leading edge for this, and Samsung wants to look like they're the leader in this space, and they want Apple to look like they're being a copycat, and that's not going to be the case because Apple may or may not even have a watch, and if they do, it certainly won't be anything like what Samsung just released. Oh dear God in heaven, I hope not. I would like to think that anyone would be able to release a better product than the Galaxy Gear. Just, oh my God.
Now I really wish
Apple had come out with a watch first. So Samsung would have had something to copy, and this watch would have been a lot better.
Yeah, it would have given them a chance then, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Now the thing is, a lot of people are saying, like, you can't compare it. You can't have an opinion, really, until you get your hands on it. But there's been so many hands-on videos out there, and the thing doesn't look that responsive when they're crossing their fingers, sort of swiping their fingers across it. It's the faceplate has those four big screws on it. It doesn't look very attractive, I've got to say. I mean, and the wristbands, personally for me, those colours, apart from the black one maybe, the rest of the colours, I can't stand why they went with the plastic wristband. Surely a metallic wristband would look better.
Samsung don't do metal, do they? Or leather or anything.
It looks cheap and nasty. Let's be honest. I think it looks cheap and nasty.
Yeah, cheap and clunky. And, okay, if I put something like that on this wrist, it would be like doing this. I mean, really. The thing is big, it's clunky, it looks like it's a pre-production model to me because of the screws that are on it. I think the band colors, well, at least for me, they do nothing. And a one-day battery life. You can only have 10 apps on it. It works only as an accessory, really, for a couple of Samsung's other devices. Holy crap, this is a $300 accessory, and it's a hobbled accessory at that. What were they thinking? This product is doomed. Doomed, I say.
It's doomed.
Yeah, the 10 app limit, I didn't hear about that until earlier today because I kept hearing the number there's going to be 70 apps available on release. So I'm just assuming you can just put as many as you want on. But then, like, I heard...
Sure, as long as that's 10.
Yeah, and like you say, the battery life is apparently around 24 hours. But as I've read lots of other places as well, Samsung have a habit of overestimating how long their battery lasts. So it could be a lot less. And people are going to have to... You're going to have to actually physically charge this up every single night. Remember to plug it in. A lot of people back in
the old... That's going to be the biggest problem for any watch that comes out like this, though, I think.
Mm-hmm. But I think the battery needs to last for more than a day. I mean, I don't know how you do that with modern-day battery technology and in that sort of form factor, unfortunately, because it's so small compared to, say, a phone or a tablet, obviously. But once you stick it on your wrist, it doesn't look that small. But I think the battery's got to be a big issue. People who buy them, a lot like people who bought Pebble watches, they wear them for the first few weeks or so, but then the novelty wears off, they forget to charge it, so they just leave it alone, and it gets stuck on the bedside cabinet.
Somehow they've got to come up with a design which incorporates the strap and some battery power juice, whatever, coming through the strap as well. It's
And I'm suddenly not picturing this as a wristwatch device anymore. It's totally going into adult entertainment territory.
Well, that'll be the camera on the wrist, won't it? So.
Well, the camera's the worst bit, I think, isn't it? You've got to do that to take a picture now. Isn't that how you've got to do it?
Yeah, it looks like we're going to be saluting some secret organisation. And just...
Exactly. You go,
Hail Samsung!
Yeah, wait.
Oh, I don't know. But I'm glad, I'll tell you what, I'm glad it's out there because it gives everyone... See, because I was quite excited about the possibility of an iWatch. But now I've looked at what Sony bought out and what Pebble came out with and now what Samsung have come out with, and I'm really losing my passion to have any sort of iWatch device come along now.
Well, that's the point. That's the point. Apple haven't actually announced anything yet.
No. And
they may still be thinking, is this item actually required? I don't know.
I think it could be just... because. It was just rumour sites that came out with the possibility of Apple producing anything in this sort of vein.
Well, the only thing that could bear credence to it is, I think it was All Things D that Tim Cook said, we're looking heavily into wearables, or something along those
That's
lines.
That's not the same thing as saying we're making a watch.
I agree.
And they didn't say, and Tim didn't say we're looking into making wearables. He said that they're very interested in that market. And that's a very different thing. I know it's very subtle, but it makes a huge difference in what they mean.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it may very well mean that Apple is working on a watch. They're not going to release a watch unless it can be a game-changing product. And Pebble is fine. I think the Pebble is a nice watch. The Galaxy Gear... had it come out 2 years ago, I think could have been seen as a really cool idea in the market, although still a clunky, ugly thing. And I'm not seeing anyone show me a compelling reason why I need to start wearing a watch. And until someone can do that, I don't see the big game changer happening in the smartwatch field. So if Apple can make that happen, well, then you'll end up seeing a watch on my wrist. And, that's the litmus test. When Apple makes a watch or someone makes a watch that I will wear all the time, they have made the game-changing product.
But don't we think this...
So watch Apple... right here, people.
Right there. But isn't it maybe Apple just putting the rumors out there that they may be making a watch and they...
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, but if they make all the competitors make the watch and they see how the market picks them up and they think, well, actually, there's no market in that because I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah, let other companies do the market testing before they bring something else which then, you know, sweeps the world and everybody goes mad over.
That's the same way, and Apple has done that before.
Well, it's the same way with the iPad. They, you know, there was a rumour that they were making a tablet and then at CES the same year it was released.
But
the manufacturers came up with a tablet and they were all awful, you know, and that probably gave them a hell of a lot of market research.
Have Apple indirectly already done a little bit of market testing with, is it the Nano, which people then put a strap on?
Well,
oh yeah. Well, the Nano, I think, is a test platform for Apple. It changes all the time. They're always throwing in new features, taking stuff out, trying all these different things. And yeah, so they already did the wearable watch thing in the iPod Nano. And they learned a lot, and maybe they'll come out with something else.
Because watching one of the videos, it strikes me that this is very similar to the Nano, and with just a strap on it. So,
yeah, but that's
Apple. I can do a lot more really than just. It's got some.
Well, no, it's not.
But
see, the Nano is a standalone product that you can use as a watch. The Galaxy Gear is a watch that has to work as an accessory with other Samsung devices.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a big thing.
I was thinking more of the shape and design rather than the functionality.
Yeah.
Well, the shape's limited by your wrist. I mean, it's obviously going to be, unless you can do some sort of curved screen thing, there you go.
See, here's your Nano. Here's your Galaxy Gear.
It's not quite that bad, but
not quite. Also, Samsung they've had a busy little week actually. Samsung also released or shown their Galaxy Note 3 off, which is bigger, faster, thinner, and lighter. Apparently, it comes with its features include a faux leather back plate instead of like the usual plastic. Which is still plastic, apparently, anyway. The S Pen, which is now symmetrical, so you can just fill it into the slot any which way. It doesn't matter if it's the right way around. Super AMOLED screen, 5.7-inch screen. It's 3 gigabytes of RAM and a 2.3 gigahertz quad-core processor. And the camera has gone up to 13 megapixels. And they've also, like I say, have made it slightly slimmer as well. It looks... I've been wanting to know, first Note came out, and it was a huge thing. And, like, before anyone had come up with the name, was it Phablet or something?
Yeah. Oh,
do you not like that term?
No.
No.
But there is a market out there. I mean, as Ewan often says, there's a market out there for a larger screen. And Samsung just, they want to make screens for any conceivable size, it seems to me, that people will buy. And so they've got the technology and the money to throw as many of these ideas against the wall. And there's a market. If you want a big screen, you can get one from Samsung. If you want a small one, you can get one from Samsung. I mean, and they're selling well. I mean, it's become...
Yeah, there's a lot of people at the place I work. I mean, I work on a floor with 120 people, and there's a lot of people with the Samsung phone with the larger screen. And they seem to, like having that larger screen. As a business, we've got iPhones, which we give out, but a lot of people also get themselves a Samsung phone with a larger screen as well. So it's obviously a business case for it.
Yeah. But when the first Note came out, a lot of people went, that's so big. And obviously we're in the third revision now. People are obviously buying them, or they wouldn't keep making them. So people really do want that bigger screen.
I do see quite a few people on the tube and stuff looking at a huge phone, and I got to assume it's the Note. But yeah, I mean, it looks nice, and it runs. The thing is, everyone says Samsung now, and I think, I don't know if Android's or Google's getting a bit annoyed the fact that everyone just refers it to Samsung phones instead of their Android phones, but I don't know. I'm still not overly keen on all the extra stuff Samsung puts. Yeah. Onto the phones. I love the Google experience when I've had a little play. But then it's just like when you used to buy a PC from Dell or Sony or someone like that. I just didn't like the extra layer of bloatware. Sony on. Yeah. And if you could buy... I mean, I suppose you could... They're easy, as far as I know, they're easy to root and put the bog standard Google OS on there. Anyone had a play with a Note?
No.
I've used them. The size is nice. I do look at my iPhone and think it's small. I've got an iPad mini and it's probably a little too big. So something in the middle is probably a perfect device, but I don't want it from Samsung. I think that's the issue.
And why is that?
Because of the crap they put on it. If I could root it and maybe have a Google experience, but then the Note is designed to run the software that Samsung write for it. There's no support for in stock Android for that form factor.
So what would, say, for example, Samsung have to do to pull you over to their camp? Is there anything they can do?
Get rid of the pen. The pen really annoys me. I don't understand the pen, really. I like a big device. I like the touchscreen. I like touchscreen keyboards, things like that. If they could utilise that a little bit more, I think I'd be inclined. I would... And probably said before, a larger iPhone would be ideal. Only because I'm kind of sucked into the app ecosystem. I'm not into the Android ecosystem, but that sort of size is, especially in the kind of, working in IT, that's the sort of thing that the sort of size would be perfect for me.
I have to say, I'm not yet convinced that writing with my finger versus writing with a pen of some sort is a better experience. I've got to say, I do like having something in my hand.
Well,
it's always one.
Don't be all.
I'll just sit here and drink.
Cheers.
Actually, saying what I just said a moment ago about their Samsung software, they have got something on this latest version called Air Command, where you can just draw a square onto the screen and it opens up another little interface window, which you can then open up various other apps like YouTube and stuff, and then you can minimize it and it just sits on the screen quietly in the corner until you need it again. And I thought that was quite a nice little feature. I don't know how much it would be used, but I thought it was much more interesting than the thing watching your eyes move up and down the page.
It's these novelty things, isn't it? You'll use them for a week and then you'll never use them again.
Yes.
I think that's exactly what it is. Samsung's all about that sort of thing, you know. They're trouble with Android, they're trying to differentiate themselves from all the other manufacturers, aren't they?
Sorry,
Sony and HTC and everyone, and you know, if you can...
Well, they are succeeding in that, because like Samsung are, as far as I know, they are the best-selling Android devices out there.
Well, they've got the mind share, because at work, when people come in and they go, well, can you, they'll email me, can you set my phone up? And I'll go, well, which phone have you got? They go, I've got the Samsung one. So the mind share is there. They don't say, I've got the Google phone or HTC One, or they go, I've got the Samsung phone. And as far as they're concerned, it's Samsung's OS.
Hmm.
So.
Sure, and that's what Samsung wants people to think.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, there was a rumor, wasn't there, that Samsung was going to move away from Android and create their own OS. Has anyone heard anything further on that?
That's Tyson, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yes.
Oh, I should have researched that before I asked the question, didn't I?
Yes, sorry. Mr. Noel. I haven't actually seen it, but they're happy with Android. It's making them lots of money.
Well, I don't see... Why would they then decide to go off and do their own OS? I mean, apart from being like a lot of the other companies, like we'll get to a bit later, where they want to own the software and the hardware.
Maybe that's what it's about.
I was just thinking, what can they say, well, Android's not giving us this, so we want to go off and do something else? I'm just wondering what they see the advantages.
Well, what Jeff just said is fork Android, because obviously you've got the Kindle HD that runs Android, but you'd never know. So Samsung could easily fork Android and make it their own operating system. No one would ever know.
Well, also, last thing...
Anyway, Android are fighting back, of course, with the Android KitKat.
Oh, you can't jump ahead on that one. You can't jump ahead on that story.
Don't start me on that.
Don't start. We'll get to that shortly. And just rounding out what Samsung announced, finally we got the Galaxy Note, the 10.1 tablet. As far as I know, it's pretty much the same. What we got? An 8-core Octa chipset clocking in at 1.9 gigahertz, apparently. 3 gigabytes of RAM. 8-megapixel camera found on the tablet's backside, and a standard 2-megapixel up front. Comes in 16 gig, 32 gig, and 64 gig storage options.
Did you call this the Galaxy Note?
Galaxy Note 10.1.
Yeah, they're called Note now.
Yeah. Why have they done that? Everything's a Galaxy Note. I thought, hang on a minute, how can that be the Galaxy Note?
Well, you should see me trying to find the graphic for the story, because it's... Because I kept coming back to the various other notes, and I was thinking, is that the new one? Is that the new one? I've probably still shown the wrong one on that picture there. Oh, well.
So, again, has this been brought out in anticipation of an announcement of further iPads that might or might not appear in a week or so's time?
Well, no, I mean, this is just...
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, it is,
of
but then...
Of course.
They're just doing... There is a sudden rush, and we've got... What is it, the IFA thing on next week or this week?
Yeah.
Where a lot of companies are going to bring out their kit ahead of whatever news is going to come on Tuesday, because that's going to... Because it always happens. It's just going to... Either positive or negative stories are just going to fill the tech press.
I mean, I think I saw a tweet earlier in the week where we had one of the biggest... takeovers or sellouts of a company, and 84 was it 84 billion? How much was the sell? How much did Vodafone sell Verizon for?
Oh, I'm not sure. I did see
it was,
that.
I mean, it was 134 billion.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, that's not a small change, is it? Yet, with one email, Apple surpassed it in the news press. I mean, it's crazy. So, you know, I just don't know why they get the rush out. Perhaps they think we'll just get it out there, just so it's out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm sure that's exactly what Samsung did. They wanted to beat Apple's media hype. And it says a lot that Samsung is so worried about Apple products that they will rush to market with something based on an unconfirmed rumor. Of course, if it's unconfirmed, it's rumor. But, yeah, so... It's just, I find it crazy that they would invest so much in a product that turns out to be crap and dump it on the market just to beat Apple at something that no one knows if Apple's really doing.
Yeah, but Samsung refresh their tablet line every kind of 4 or 5 months, don't they? And they're never that good. they've never really taken off in the tablet market. Now the Nexus series is out there. No one's even looking at them, are they?
The tablet market for Samsung is a lot smaller than their phone market, it seems to me.
Yeah.
But they're still hang in there. They're still churning them out. They're still confident. And if they're like the Apple company, they are creating their own little ecosphere. And, you know, they're chipping away. Because they do look attractive products.
Yeah.
They are attractive products, as far as I can tell. And they're a lot cheaper as well. Well, in most cases, they're cheaper.
They're built cheaper, aren't they?
Yeah, but I mean, as you've just said, in 6 months' time, it's going to be well out of date. You know, that's the thing. It's just... And I think I mentioned, I'm not sure that I mentioned on the big show last week, that you know the best way to get new sales is often to bring out a new product. But it just goes to show the lack of confidence you've got in your previous range of products.
Well, you know, you've got to keep the churn going, haven't you? You've got to keep the profits coming in with new stuff. So
well,
sticking
with Samsung,
on...
With Samsung, it's not about having confidence in your products. It's about saturating the market. And so they just need to make products that are good enough to start selling because the next thing is coming along anyhow. And if you look at their electronics product line, holy crap, how can you keep track of it? But then if you look at everything Samsung really makes, I'm assuming there's no one at the company that can rattle off every product Samsung is making. They just need to make it, get it out, and make the next thing.
They do churn a lot.
Did you mention, Carl, that obviously the Galaxy Note 10.1 2014 edition, I thought I'd just give you that information just so you knew which one we were talking about. That's the one that syncs with the Gear smartwatch.
I know, no, that's true. On release, it's going to sync, but they're going to push out updates so more...
Samsung devices so that it doesn't sync.
No, oh, you stop. Anyway, sticking. Normally, this story would be the top story of the week for some, but not this week. Now, Microsoft have gone and bought Nokia's mobile phone unit. So why do we think that is?
What a surprise.
Are you being cynical, Paul? Are you saying the only reason they bought it is so Nokia wouldn't then go off and become an Android device and Microsoft out in the cold?
They sent a Trojan horse in. Mr. Elop went in. I'm not saying that they sent in a Microsoft executive and devalued the company to buy it cheaper later on, but of course they did. It's exactly what they did. And now he's in the running for CEO of Microsoft. And they've got their own hardware division now.
Go on, Jeff.
All right, so my take on this is... Isn't that Microsoft put a ringer into Nokia so that they could get what they wanted for cheap? It just happened to work out really well for them that they could do that. So what Microsoft did was they spent $5 billion to buy Stephen Elop, and they got a smartphone business for free as part of the deal. And I'm pretty sure that Elop is their next CEO now. And I'm betting that within a couple months, Microsoft will make that announcement. And then Ballmer will be out the door. And I think Microsoft is going to totally screw the pooch on the whole Nokia purchase. And within a couple years, they will have done to Nokia what HP did to Palm, and it will just simply go away. Microsoft does not have a good track record with phones.
Okay. Any thoughts, Gaz?
I don't care.
Most honest answer. but you're on a show where you're meant to pretend to care. Have you not learned how tuck podcasts work, Gaz?
Yes.
Let me tell you. Let me start a little story for you. You get a collection of people together.
All I can say is Microsoft have got something in place, in plan. They think they're buying they're probably buying the technology and a lot of the staff behind it as well. That's going to be their thought process. Whether it'll work out that way is something totally different because, as Jeff says, they've not got a good track record when it comes to phones. They've got one half-decent hardware product out there, which is a gaming product, and they've even had loads of problems with that. So, you know, good luck, Nokia, moving forward, because I'll give you 5 years at most.
Wasn't the problem Nokia wasn't moving forward? So they, you know, they If they'd backed, imagine if they'd backed Android a couple of years ago.
Well, that's the whole theory. I think Microsoft's kind of partnered with Nokia to stop the flow of Android.
I wonder actually whether there's still an awful lot of, I don't like using this word, but dumb phones, which are sold in less affluent countries around the world. They don't use smartphones in a lot of those countries because they eat battery. They don't have the connectivity that we have. So the smartphone is a dumb device to them, whereas these devices are used all the time. So there's still a lot of business for them. But I don't know what Microsoft's idea in getting Nokia to move forward is. And I think there are some clever people at Nokia, and that's part of the reasoning that they've bought the company.
Yeah, but isn't the Nokia 625 one of the best-selling phones in the world right now? And that's a low-end, so maybe Microsoft are looking, they can't get the mid-range, they can't get the high-end, so maybe they can take over the low-end, and that's where they make the money.
Well, where do you put Windows on that phone, though?
Well,
and that's the thing for Microsoft. They want Windows on the phone.
Mm. But then if Microsoft are going to spend money on companies, and obviously Microsoft's core business is now in enterprise, and BlackBerry put themselves up for sale almost, wouldn't BlackBerry have been a better acquisition than Nokia? Because the back
end
of
BlackBerry... No, because they want the hardware. Microsoft wants to do like Apple with the iPhone, where they're the end-to-end company for all the components, or for all the pieces. The problem is they also want to be Microsoft with it and license out their Windows Mobile operating system. So they're trying to play both sides here, and it's not going to work.
So do you think the name Nokia will go away?
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah. It'll be a Microsoft phone?
Yeah, it'll be the Microsoft Windows Lumia Personal Edition mobile access device.
Series
2016.
Ultra. Right. 10.5.
Ultra, that's right.
Yes.
But now, as was mentioned earlier then, so there's very good bets going out that Stephen Elop is going to take over from Ballmer. So let's play Monday morning CEO. So Monday morning's come round, and you're now the new CEO of Microsoft. What is the first thing that you do? And I know that's a really unfair question, because if you actually was in that position, you wouldn't be on this show.
Yeah.
But no, what would you do? What would your first change at Microsoft be if you only had to do one?
The first thing I would do is have a big drink, a very stiff drink, and then I would cut the name Windows off their mobile operating system.
Yes.
Because that is such an albatross that I think is really holding back adoption of their mobile operating system, which actually on the phone I think is good. But with the Windows name, it has the whole Windows stigma, and people are like, well, Jesus Christ, why do I need a start button on my phone? Yeah, so take Windows off of the mobile operating system name, and then start marketing it that way.
Yeah.
So when did you think Windows became a stigma? Around what time?
About the time the name started showing up in every single product that Microsoft makes.
God, yeah.
Especially after Vista.
Yeah. Oh, no, you can't forgive them for Vista, can you?
No, I'll never forgive them for
even
that.
All these years later.
No, it's still pain.
They should put out, I mean, if it was me, and this is probably, I'm going to be shot down here, but I'd make sure that I had a product range for iOS and for Android called Office.
Well, yes, a lot of people would ask. Well, I used to be asking for it. I'm not so sure
well,
the demand's there anymore.
Well, I think it's still there enough for them to do it. But and give it another 18 months and you're dead right. Nobody will care.
Because you've got Office for iPhone, haven't you, which is pretty pointless. Haven't you? For
yes,
iOS.
It's very limited, and you have to be part of the subscription service as well.
Yeah, but they don't want to put it on an iPad, do they? Because it's going to kill their tablet market, isn't it?
Well, that's what they say.
Kill something that's already dead.
Yes. So who would be in favour of maybe breaking up? Because it's such a Goliath of a company now, breaking up Microsoft and letting it concentrate on its own special areas like the gaming community and the enterprise and the consumer area, which could also be gaming, I suppose.
Yeah, but it sounds like they're already messing up the gaming thing already before the release of the console, isn't it?
Oh, you mean the Xbox One?
Yeah, well, Xbox None. No one's really that interested anymore, are they? Because the world's changed, especially gaming. You know, people want to do mobile gaming, so They've had a lot of success with the 360, but I don't think they're going to have as much success with this. And if they're betting everything on one horse, which is the Xbox, they're going to lose.
I don't know. There's still some hardcore gamers out there that just want a more powerful console. I mean, what's the 360's 10 years old now? 8 years old?
Yeah, but they don't care if it's more powerful. Excuse me. If they can't run the games that they've already bought for the 360.
Yes, that is a bit of a problem. The fact is not backwards compatible. Yes.
Yeah. There's a huge kind of the market has been lost to them. And then isn't the Xbox One and the PS4 basically glorified PCs in a box? It's increasing the PC gaming market, so probably they should really concentrate on that.
Mm. I'd certainly change their advertising agency for selling a keyboard.
Yeah. You mean the click keyboard?
Yes.
That's what you mean. Well, you know, it's come that time in the podcast where I just like to take a little Android 4.4 break. I've got my Android 4.4 here. I can't get in. Look, it's not accessible. That's terrible.
Oh, so it's a closed platform.
Closed platform. Well done.
Can you?
It doesn't even make a click noise. That's rubbish.
Can you?
Oh well.
You've not had it in the fridge. Carl.
Can you break one of those fingers off for a bit of fragmentation?
Oh, hey, well played.
There we go. Broken off.
I'm here.
So, what do we think is behind this move? Is it a fun naming thing, or is it as I heard somewhere today, a corporate advertising bad thing?
It's terrible. If I was an Android user now, I'd be really embarrassed.
I'm surprised this didn't happen earlier. Really?
Really?
Oh yeah, and of course Microsoft teamed up with a candy company for an Android version name, and I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner, and they will continue to do stuff like this. I mean, it's all about the branding. It's all about marketing the names. And if you are doing deals with candy companies, then you can do cross promotion stuff. And so now people. No, I have to rephrase what I was going to say. I was about to say now people can open up a Kit Kat candy and be reminded of Android OS. But we've just proven live on the internet that you can't actually open the packaging. So they've kind of screwed that.
No, that's just my own personal ineptitude, though. So,
well, they
which
don't
is
have
extensive.
They don't have to worry now about obviously registering the name or, you know, being sued for using the name because, you know, they're in cahoots with a candy company, as I like the way Jeff puts it, Nestle's Kit Kat. So, you know, they don't have to worry about that, do they? But, you know.
No, but they say no money changed hands in this deal, but you got to think there's going to be some massive cross-promotion things going
down. Absolutely.
I mean, there's already Kit Kat things out there with the little Android robot on, and they're announcing deals where maybe Google Play, you'll get Google Play tickets, or you might have a chance to win the next Nexus 4 or whatever. But I don't. What I'm saying is there anything fundamentally wrong with it? I mean, every time maybe we mention Android Kit Kat on this show, for example, we're advertising now.
Well every time we mention any product, we're advertising.
It's a clever move. Yeah. It's just a clever move.
It's probably more Nestle's kind of favour than Google's, really. But Google don't need the money, do they?
Well, they say that. I think they will one day, maybe. I don't believe everyone's going to find everything they're searching for eventually, I reckon.
It's going to be a kick.
Well, life will be really boring at that point.
It will, won't it? Especially when the government stops us hunting for certain websites. I mean, I won't need Google anymore.
Four fingers are fun, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a show title.
Yeah, I like a chunky myself.
You keep your personal taste to yourself. So when this was announced, there was a photograph that went out as they changed the. I've just clicked the wrong page there. As they put the little robot statue up at the. Look at this. I can't get to my site I set up for it. It's rubbish, isn't it? Right. Where they put the little mascots, or whatever you want to call them, on the front of the Google campus. And then they showed a crowd of the you know, pictures of the crowd, people taking photographs. And amongst them, some eagle-eyed people were spotted a Nexus phone that doesn't appear to be a Nexus 4. And they think it's the often-rumoured Nexus 5. Now, do we think Google's about to bring out another smartphone?
I think they're guaranteed to, aren't they? It's been a year, hasn't it, now? It's been over a year since the 4. So...
There is quite a bit of rumours going around about a Nexus 5. I did a quick bit of digging, and they are suggesting that the Nexus 5 will be available in the next few months and be 5.2-inch HD 1080p display, 2.3 gigahertz Snapdragon 800 processor, 13-megapixel rear camera, 2 gigabits or 3 gigabits of RAM, a longer battery life, obviously, and will come with Android 4.4 KitKat.
Do you get a free KitKat?
I don't know. You should.
Well,
do.
I'll tell you what. If you don't, I'm not buying one.
Yeah, that's all I want. That's all I'm in for.
It just seems to be nothing but phone news this week, does it? Unless that's just all I found for some reason.
So is that the close up on the new Nexus 5 possible?
Yes, apparently that is. And I don't own a Nexus 4, but that looks bigger than the Nexus 4 to me.
But then, isn't it this week that the prices on the Nexus 4 severely dropped? Because you get an 8-gig Nexus 4 in the UK for $139.
That's right. And, yes. And apparently, I think it was the 16-gig model is running out of stock, and they're not replacing the stock. So that's another rumour. Why? That's another reason they think a new one's on its way.
Yeah.
Oh, 8 gigabit, sorry. I've just been corrected in the chat room.
There's not a fruit-based company releasing a phone in the next week, is there?
I know, I couldn't possibly comment on what you meant by that.
just an observation. More people, you know, putting out rumours of new phones, but I think that's probably a driver behind a lot of it.
Because
I think the Nexus 4 was a very quiet release after the iPhone 5. And I've seen the Nexus 4. It's actually a very good phone, because I think the 5 is rumoured to be LG again, isn't it?
So do you think when the Nexus 5 comes out, Nestlé will produce a five-finger KitKat?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Just five, asking a question.
The five fingers is better than four.
You stop that, you. You're very rude. This is good. Look, I can't get my screen camera. I can't get my camera to come back on. That's not a good sign, is it?
It's just going
to
be that local.
It's just going to be you. Also, out in the stories, Google Glass rumour. Apparently, next year, we are going to get a Google Glass app store arriving. So, does this look like we're going to get Google Glass open up to the public soon?
I think it's inevitable, really, isn't it?
I hope so.
Does anyone want it? Do we really
I'm still quite...
No, absolutely not. I can look like a tool all on my own. I don't need Google's help.
No, I want I want a Galaxy Gear so I can do this. That's what I want.
I must admit, all I'm seeing from people who've got Google Glass is just more of the same pictures which they would have taken with the phone. I'm not seeing anything clever at this point from Google Glass, but obviously, having not used it or having not seen one even, it's difficult for me to actually make a complete decision on the product. But I think there's going to be a lot of people when they realise what people are wearing and what they're doing with Google Glass that might backtrack on it and might start fighting against people wearing them in public. I don't know. It just seems too invasive to me.
There's already been, like, the UK government has said they're going to stop drivers from wearing them when they're out driving, obviously. There was that nightclub in the States that said, you're not coming in here if you've got Google Glass on. So there's already a retaliation against something that's not even out to the general, to the wider general public at the moment. So I don't know if it's just people helping out. I still want to get my hands on one and have a go before I condemn it, I've got to say.
Oh, I'd love to play with one.
Yeah.
But it's just a glorified camera, is it really?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if it's the device that's like manufactured properly, it can imagine you tell it a destination and it lays out a track for you where you follow, and as messages come through.
Does it push the other people out of the way?
Oh, well, no.
Yeah, when they see you, they don't want to be in there. Yeah.
Hey, I'm 6'7". They get out of my way anyway.
No, I'll see an Iron Man. I want that as a heads-up display. I don't want Google Glass. That's what I want.
What, you want to walk...
Until they give me that.
No. You want to walk around in a full Iron Man costume. You want to be Tony Stark.
Oh, of
you
course
are I Iron Man. Oh.
That actually would
be... I'm working on it.
He's got the beard. Oh, dear.
So,
Belt in the chat room says Google doesn't allow Google Glass in its meetings, so which makes sense, really.
Of course.
What could possibly go wrong?
I can't imagine.
It'd be good to play with it, but, really... Really, and I'm not sure that I'm going to be too happy about seeing people in the street wearing them. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
is it any different to carrying a phone around? I suppose it is slightly, because you have to, if you're going to take pictures, you're going to have to show that you're carrying your phone in an unusual position. Taking pictures, videos. People do it all the time. Is it any different with having Google Glass? I don't know.
No. When it's released, I'll give it a week before in the news man gets punched in the face for taking photographs of my girlfriend with Google Glass. It'll be a week.
Very cynical, very cynical. Yeah, don't say the words now. This show and every other show on the network is produced by the wonderful people at UK2.net. They really do keep the company going, or the network going even, with all the wonderful stuff, things that they sponsor us with, mainly, and probably bandwidth being the biggest, because we tear through the stuff. If you'd like to show your support for us by giving them your business, we'd be much appreciated. So if you just want to hop along to their site, at UK2.net, look through their
goodies.
Items to purchase, goodies, yes indeed, good. And see all the things you want and fill your basket with wonderful services, then pop along to our very own website ourselves and go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors, and you'll see a collection of discount codes that you can tap in and get some wonderful money off. We all need to save money in this point in time. And apply them, and you'll get a fantastic deal. They really do offer some fantastic services like VPN and domains. Get your domains from them for 20% off with our code. You really do get some good stuff. And they really have kept us going all these years, and hopefully they'll keep us going as well. UK too. Wonderful people. So we've got a competition this week. We have got a competition. And... it's mainly for people with iPhone 5s and iPad minis, I'm afraid. So if you haven't got one of them, well, maybe you can get it for someone who has, if you're the winner. And what it is from 12 South, the wonderful people at 12 South who make some fantastic products. And it's the high-rise stand and charger for, like I say, the iPhone 5 and the iPad mini. And all you have to do is enter the competition is send an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and put in the subject 12 South Competition and answer this pretty simple question. In what year was 12 South established? That's all you need to do. And you could be the owner of a wonderful high-rise for your iPad or your iPad mini. Ewan will announce the winner either next week or the week after. So get your entries in, and good luck. So last thing, cool things. What have we got for cool things? And I still can't get my camera to work. Unfortunately, look at that.
You're very blurry.
No, yeah, it's just it won't come back. It won't give me access anymore. Damn. Oh well, that's a blessing probably to most people on YouTube anyway. So let's start out with Gaz. What have you got for us?
Right. Well, I thought I'd go for a service which I'm not sure whether people would actually use or not. However, I've used it plenty of times in the past, and basically lots of people try and create icons. And the problem is this, I suppose this is less for geeks and more for your every Joe, Harry, Pete, Bert down the road. But basically there's a service called iConvert.com online. And basically you can choose an image or a picture or an icon, and you can convert it into Windows, Mac, or a Linux icon very easily. You just browse through the browser, hit the convert button, and it will download an icon of the type of version that you require for your operating system, and does it in obviously the right format, sets it up for you nice and easy and nice and quick. Now, this is relatively easy to do on a Mac anyway, but I used to do this sort of stuff for Windows all the time, and the little play that I had with Linux, I had no idea. So this is just a quick and easy online service, and I'd best give you a link in the show notes, hadn't I?
That's it. That way, that when I come to put it up on the Google Plus community, I can put all the links in to the various picks that people have. Jeff, what have you got for us?
All right. So this is tech, but not tech in the sense that we usually go with. I'm going with a water bottle today, and it's this one right here from Camelback, and it's called the Groove. The reason I'm going with it is because, everyone knows I live in the mountains, which means I have mountain water. But in Estes Park, that mountain water is total crap. I mean, like, you drink water, and then you need to go find water to wash the taste of the water out of your mouth. So I ended up coming across this, which has this core in the middle, and it's a carbon core, so it filters the water as you're drinking it. So you can put the really crappy tap water in that we have up here and have really good-tasting water to drink out the other end. And then it has a nice little lid that closes, so you don't have to worry about water leaking out. And it's really simple. And it's one of those things where until a friend pointed this out to me, I would have never thought to have had good drinking water everywhere I go just by picking up a bottle. And they're about $20. And it's the Camelback Groove.
Oh, nice. I'm normally one of those person that keeps stopping off in service stations and wasting my money on bottled water. So,
and now I don't have to anymore. No, I just fill up wherever I can get water.
Excellent. Paul, what have you got for us?
Hello, sir. Well, as I look down, and I'm not in that way, but my feet become less and less more visible as my stomach expands. So,
well, thank God you said stomach.
Yes, I know. So I've got back into running again. I used to be a runner, but I had a knee injury and operation a couple of years ago, and been looking for a bit of motivation. And I've been using an app that's for Android and iOS. It's called Get Running. And basically it's using the, I don't know if you heard of it, the Coach to 5K program.
Mm-hmm.
It basically eases you in with kind of walking and running. And it's a really great app, so you can see it there. So basically it maps out the days that you need to run.
I couldn't even do the one that counts to the end of the street.
Yeah, but basically it works along to the music that you're kind of listening to, but it tells you when to walk, when to run. It maps the days you need to run, when you need to rest. And it's a really good motivational tool. And someone like me who's not very motivated at all is actually quite a good thing. It goes, right, it's time to go running again. You think, oh, my God, have I really got to? But, you know, if I want to stay fit, then it's a really good app to do that, and it's out on Android and iOS. It's $1.99, but if you're kind of looking to get into, if you're not a runner and you really want to kind of get into it, it eases you in really well. And apparently after 9 weeks, you can run 5K a week. I don't know if I believe that yet, but I'll let you know if it works.
Now, is that the app where you can post the fact that you're about to do a run to Twitter and Facebook, and every time someone interacts with that, it gives you a little round of applause?
That's the Nike Plus one.
Oh, okay.
I did try that, but I got annoyed with people going, "You can do it!" No, I was like, no, I can't. and you stop in 5 minutes going, "What's that?" And you stop running it. No. So this is a little better. So it's very simple and interacts with the music you're listening to. And it's if you're looking to get fit and you're not you're not a professional runner and you just want to get into it and just to get fit, you know, for $1.99, it's actually a really good app. So, well recommended.
Absolutely. Well, my one was going to be And it still is, really. Apart from when, like, it's screwed up on my camera, so I've got nothing now, which is, like I say, a blessing to most people. Mine is Google on here, on there, on here? On air hangouts. Now, on air hangouts are slightly different from just a normal hangout. First of all, we broadcast it over the entire internet, so anyone can come and watch you if they so wish. But the other thing is, it's got some different settings on it as well, so you can make the sound sound a bit better. And most of the time it works. I had a bit of a snafu the other day of it, but and like this, my window is a bit screwed at the moment. But normally it works pretty much as advertised. And the fact that we've just done a whole show using nothing but one application effectively, I think that's a good. If you want to start your own podcast, this is definitely the way to the thing to look at. And it's, it will cost you nothing to start up. So that's my pick this week. So, what's left is, where can we get hold of everyone? So, Gazmaz, you're first.
Dead easy, over at gazmaz.com, where you'll find links to lots of podcasts that I appear on, including this one, but the weekly one that I do with Guy Searle, the G-Men over at mymac.com podcast. And I think we'll have to get all three of you on individually at some point, I think, to join in the madness, which Carl knows.
madness is true. Oh, dear. Jeff, where can we get hold of you, sir?
You can find me at macobserver.com, and you can find me on Twitter and app.net. I'm Jay Gamet, both of those places. And you can find me here on this show and the comic show. And then I also do Apple Context Machine, and we have Communicators podcast, and then a bunch of others. And then Fresh Brewed Tales, where I talk about what I see in coffee shops. Oh, and speaking of Fresh Brewed Tales, if anyone's going to be in Denver on September 18th, come and see me. I will be speaking at Ignite Denver at the Paramount Theater. And it's a 1,300-seat theater, so there should be room for you. And it would be awesome to have people from the shows that I'm on in the audience to, you know, so we could see each other in real life.
Absolutely. So do you know what you're talking about yet? Have you planned out?
Yeah. Oh, yes. My presentation is called Everything I Need to Know in Life I Learned by Watching Muggles in Starbucks. So I'll be talking about the ridiculously stupid things that I see people doing in Starbucks.
Oh, dear. All I see is people buying coffee at highly inflated prices, but that's all I see.
And then being stupid afterwards, too. Yes
exactly. Yeah. Paul, where can we get hold of you?
You can get me on Twitter at Paulins, and when I'm not gasping for air after runs, doing a few old reviews, a bit slow at the old BTN.
So you caught me been chewing my Kit Kat then?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You got me chewing my Android 4.4.
Did you win?
So you got some reviews coming up for us, I believe.
I've been work's been terrible this week, then I've been a bit lax, but I will pick up the pace.
Okay, good stuff. My name's Carl Madden. You can get hold of me on Twitter at Claw0101 or on the Google Plus thing, normally in our communities, or this week at least on the Here and There show, where just the fact that I happen to sing on the podcast shouldn't put you off. Well, it probably should, but you know. So that's it. That's our show for today. Hopefully, we had one technical issue halfway through, but apart from that, we got through it. Thanks for joining us.
Is that a wrap?
That's a wrap. We'll see you all again next week. Until then, stay classy, everyone.